This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Here's Speroni, who rolls the ball out to Cannon. He's got options in front of him. He picks out Thomas. This is a nice looking move from Palace. That's a neat ball to Ambrose, where space on the right. Good turn. He crosses into Johnson! Oh yes, back of the nest!
Hello and welcome to the Back of the Nest review show. My name is Chris Hambling and I'm here to guide you through our review of Palace's third game of the Premier League season. This time, it was a disappointing 2-1 defeat away to Watford at Vicarage Road. We'll run through all the key talking points, incidents and performances and look where the game was lost, as well as taking a look at your reactions too from social media. My panel tonight is DR Kernaz, Albert Curley and a debut for Darcy Hare. We'll be back after this short message.
Love our podcasts. Listen to our live radio show on Love Sport every Thursday, 7 till 9 p.m., 558 a.m., DAB Digital Radio, and online, lovesportradio.com.
Okay, welcome back after that short message. Just a reminder for you before we get going, the website, backofthenest.com, is now due in late September. There'll be all sorts of stuff on that, loads of ways for you to interact with us, including some video content. And talking of video content, DR, I've noticed you started to push for some fan reactions after games and stuff. Would you like to tell people a bit about that?
Yeah. So basically, after games, what we're trying to do is, wherever you are in the world, so whether you're in America, outside Sellers, or even today outside Vicarage Road, just we want a minute or two of your time, just, you know, quick match reactions, and then we'll post it on our social media accounts. That's what we're planning to do. So yeah, if you want to get in touch, you can DM us on Twitter and we can help you with any questions you've got.
Thanks, mate.
It's all right.
obviously, you know, it doesn't have to be particularly long or anything like that, but just your instant reactions. A lot of us do some stuff like that for BT Sport and the show. So it's just, you know, it's just a good way to get your views across and spread our social media profile, isn't it? So that's what we do, isn't it, now, DR? We're spreading our social media profiles.
Yeah, we are.
Good,
I don't know what you want me to say about it. Yeah.
Just make sure that's anything you're spreading.
Yeah. I'm just getting excited about, you know, it's the future, isn't it, this internet? I think I finally decided that it's not a flash in the pan. The internet's here to stay. And so I'm just enjoying our part in it. I'm just going to move on now since I think there's something wrong with me today. Another reminder as well, we're doing the Palace for Life Foundation Marathon Walk. As I told you last week, my first training session was 259 steps. Been ramping up, did 270 one day this week, guys. 270. So I think I'm going to be ready by October the 13th to do this 26.2 miles. Can't be too many more steps than that.
So that's you've just allowed yourself over 10 steps per mile.
Yeah, that's about right, isn't it?
Yeah. So if you could do 10 steps per mile, then you're all right. You're on course for your sort of, you know, what you've been getting in this week.
It's going to be easy, isn't it? It doesn't take very much time at all to do that many steps as well.
I never like to use the word easy, but straightforward.
Yeah, exactly right. There's a whole bunch of us doing it. How are you doing it, Albert?
I'll be honest, I haven't signed up yet, but I am doing it. I'm going to sign up after the show.
You can do it during the show. It's really easy.
Or during the show, yeah. If you waffle on a bit.
Well, that's pretty much a guarantee, isn't it?
Yeah, fair
enough. And Dio, you're doing it, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Initially, I wasn't going to, but it's for a good cause, so might as well, and it'll help me get fit as well. So, yeah.
Exactly. It's for obviously raising money for all sorts of causes in South London that the Palace for Life Foundation work on. Do go to Palace for Life Foundation's website. You can use Google for that sort of thing with the old internet these days. Have a look at that and find out all the things they get up to. I dare say we'll tweet a few links for you to sponsor us as well. That's what we really want, bottom line. Sponsorship's been pretty slow. I think I've donated around a quarter of our sponsorship so far. So, you know, I'm not trying to guilt you into it, but I'm thoroughly ashamed of our listeners so far. So get donating immediately. Darcy, we've not asked you to do it, so you've got away with it, I think.
Yeah, I'll donate.
Yeah, that seems fair. Donate money, time, whatever you want to do. Yeah. Just donate it. All right. Well, and I think that gives us a little bit of a opportunity to get an introduction in. So you would have heard the familiar tones of Mr. Albert Curley and Mr. D.R. Kerners as part of my panel. But Darcy Hare, your first time on the show. Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
So it's like we haven't spoken pre-show. So tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, who are you? And why are you doing it? Why are you talking to us?
Because I'm Darcy. I support Palace. We were doing the first games chat before, and I had to double check, but I think it was 1989 was my first game. And myself and my brothers started supporting Palace because our mum told us it was our local team, which was sort of more or less right. And yeah, been coming ever since 1989. So. That's me.
Fantastic. So, as in every year? Season ticket every year?
Yeah, pretty much. There's one or two where I was just a member when I didn't make every game, and you can kind of, you know, championship days, you can just rock up and buy a ticket and it's quite easy. But, yeah, season tickets these days.
So you can appreciate the full trauma of what was Trevor Francis,
Peter Taylor.
So out of all of the time, because obviously, like myself, you've caught the glory period right at the start of Steve Coppell era, finishing third in the top division.
Yeah.
And then you've gone through an awful lot of pain. And then we're now here with our most successful ever run in the top division. But out of all of that, who's your favourite player?
It's a bit boring, but I think I have to say Wilf Zaha. Thinking back to my old favourite player. I'll give you Andy Gray. I used to love in that just for his general swagger and attitude on the pitch. Him as well.
Yeah, love Andy. I don't know if you remember the early days when we were called something else, where Andy phoned us up and we didn't quite realise it was him. Got quite embarrassing, didn't it, Albert?
There's plenty of swagger there, wasn't there?
There's an awful lot of it, yeah. Good times. Anyway, thank you very much, Darcy. Very, very pleased to have you on the show. And, yeah, look forward to your pearls of wisdom as we get going reviewing this match, unfortunately. So, look, it was a defeat. It was 2-1. And I suppose, I think ultimately, when you look at social media, the reactions online, it's everyone's pretty negative, pretty upset with the performance. A lot of comments about substitutes, lots of those coming from me as well. So I was very frustrated during the game. It's been a few hours since that initial pain. So we'll see if we can try and be a bit philosophical about it and not try and be too overly negative because, you know, let's face it, we don't want to spend the whole season moaning, do we? So lineups we'll start with, as always. And the big question, and the question I'm going to start with Mr. D.R. Kerners, AWB, Mr. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, out suspended. Joel Ward comes in. Before the game started, everyone was saying, great to have such a reliable and quality player to come in, you know, our former first choice right back. How did he do?
I wouldn't say great, reliable. He's a decent backup in the Premier League. I thought he'd done, you know, he did decent. I know his ability has dropped throughout the years, but yeah, he was a good backup. And the main problem with Wardy's crosses, letting in crosses too much. But today, I thought he was quite well. I don't know whether for the first goal it was, you know, does he have a fault in that? But yeah, I know we'll talk about that later. But yeah, I thought he was all right.
No, it's a good point you make that, you know, I've picked on him a little bit for his inability to stop crosses. But I noticed that that was very much not the case this week. And it was certainly a positive first half performance from him. But as you say, there was an element of fault for both goals. Did you hear me burp there?
Yeah, it was.
Might have to edit that out.
I didn't. And then you brought massive attention to it.
Oh,
so.
Because it was totally unexpected. It was during a word. I don't think that's ever happened to me before. Let's keep that in. It's real, isn't it? It happens. Sorry.
Keeping it breezy.
Keeping it breezy, right. I was just about to come to yourself on this one, Albert. So, you know, I'm saying, I think both the goals sort of come down his side, really. And I know certainly early on as well, Pereira was giving him a bit of a hard time. Do you find yourself looking at that and thinking, you know, however solid Ward has been, we've seen just the sheer brilliance of Wan-Bissaka, and would we have had those problems if he was playing?
I think it's safe to say that Wan-Bissaka's quality, he's sort of, you know, his baseline quality is a more adept player than Joel Ward. He's got the pace to dig him out of the holes that Joel Ward might not have, you know, and find himself in. So, but, you know, having said that, I don't think Joel Ward had a terrible game. I mean, it certainly wasn't as bad as, you know, the same fixture last season. I mean, he had an absolute mare in that game. We were talking about it on the preview show in the week, but I think he's for the first goal, he's not done too much wrong. He's not dived in. He's just been slightly turned, and you know, and it is a wicked finish.
I think we'll come to the full detail of it, but there's a fair few more mistakes than anything he's done in that before that shot gets away, isn't there?
Yeah, completely. I mean, let's put it this way. Joel Ward didn't stick out as a negative for me today.
No, not at all. And Darcy Ward's been a reliable servant for Palace. You know, one of our longest serving players, been an absolute trooper. Do you see him dropping off, like a lot of people have said, in terms of just how effective he is? Or, you know, or is he still a challenge for Wan-Bissaka?
Yeah, I think, I mean, he's second choice now, isn't he? But and he's not as good as he looked a few years ago. But I still think, I don't know, I thought he was all right today. He was playing probably their best player up against him. So that was part of the difficulty. But also he's probably stronger and better in the air. So sometimes I thought, you know, Watford are quite a physical side. So there is something that he has probably a bit more than Wan-Bissaka there that, you'd still rather start Wan-Bissaka. But, you know, he did all right with a few crosses.
There's that experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. There's that experience he's got as well. And obviously we can't sort of move on without mentioning the sort of last part of the game where he's unfortunately headed just wide, which would have got us an undeserved point, I think. But again, this is certainly not a witch hunt for Joel Ward. And I think when you look at the options that were available at right back, we had to make that change clearly because it's a suspension. So, you know, the only other option was Martin Kelly. And that brings us on to what happened late on, DR, which was right before the game kicks off. James Tompkins, tight calf, withdrawn from the team. So Martin Kelly has to play, and all of a sudden we don't really have an option at right back. I suppose the only other option at centre back would have been to play Coyote there, like West Ham did a few times. But Kelly did pretty well as well, I thought.
Yeah, he did. Considering that he was not meant to play until the last second, yeah, he did really well. Him and Wardy. You look at our defence; they're probably our weakest link, and it is a massive miss having missing Tompkins there and Wan-Bissaka both at the same time. But I thought overall defensively, especially in first half, we handled them pretty well and we were pretty much dominant because they were lofting up balls, and Sacco and Kelly, they didn't mess up, and they kept the ball quite well and defended Deeney and Andrew Gray quite well. But then, yeah, as the game went on, the game a bit changed. But I don't think it was their fault. I think it's mainly due to the midfield, to be fair.
Albert, take it on from DR's point. Obviously, we did, as he quite rightly says, we were pretty defensively strong in the first half. There wasn't too much getting in behind us. But do you think that disruption to the defence had an impact overall in the game? I mean, certainly thinking about the confidence of the keeper, perhaps he's a bit different if he's got Tompkins and Sacco in front of him than Kelly and Sacco. And certainly, you know, having two players come out of the defence and one in particular at the very last moment, do you think that had an impact?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say really. In the looking at the goals we conceded, you know, you can't see what James Tompkins instead of Martin Kelly is going to do in either of those scenarios. You can't necessarily say it's a direct, you know, it's not a direct sort of action to Tompkins being out. But, you know, Monday night's game was the first game we'd lost that Tompkins and Sacco had started. So to lose 50% of that, you know, really important pairing for us, coupled with our first choice right back being out. Yeah, probably, you know, just from of a more sort of holistic general sense, it probably did disrupt things. But again, it wasn't like you can put your finger on it and say, oh, well, James Tompkins would have done this or James Tompkins would have done that, and we'd have come away with a better result. But yeah, I can only imagine, you know, best laid plans. If you don't put your first team out, then it's, whether it's due to a suspension that you knew was going to happen or a last minute change, yeah, of course it's going to disrupt things.
Yeah, sure. And I think, you know, this, not ignore the fact that I think it was probably the overall, if you're looking at the game, it was probably the midfield where we looked perhaps the weakest. And we'll talk about the reasons for that a little bit later on. But the first major incident in the game could have been absolutely game changing. You know, who knows what would
should have been.
Should have been. Which is, you know, Wilf's just in sort of central midfield. Does well to battle with the ball, takes it away from Capoue, who then just basically rakes the studs down his Achilles, and it's nowhere near the ball. It's incredibly late. It's clearly done to hurt the player. You know, what do you think of that, Darcy? You know, it's got to be a red card, right?
Yeah, it's a red card. It's just annoying. It's, I don't know what else to say about it. I mean, he jumps, like, off the ground. The ball's not there. It's the ref's, like, right next to it, watching it. The only thing I wondered is, because it's 5 minutes, maybe that made a difference to whether he's going to give it or not. But
I think that's a good point. It's an early decision to make. But as you say, he's right next to it, so he's clearly got to have seen it. He's given a yellow, which means we can't even appeal that. And I suppose, you know, yeah, again, it's inconsistency, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just really annoying. Like, there's nothing you can say about it. Just a bad decision.
I don't really. I know what you mean. I'm kind of lost for words on it, in the sense that there's nothing you could do about it now. It was interesting to see Graham Souness's comments on the Sky coverage, because he was absolutely raging. And I don't know if anyone who remembers Graham Souness playing, he wasn't shy of putting in a challenge like that himself. So it was perhaps a little bit rich, but you know, he said either the referee has either bottled it, or essentially he's completely incompetent. But it's a bottle job, really. It is for me. Obviously from the stands, it's different. You don't get the, you know, appreciation of several different replays. But how did people view that from the stands?
Well, I was at base at the front row, so I couldn't see pretty well, like, the midfield area. But yeah, it didn't look that bad from the stand. But now watching the replays, I just don't understand it. The referee is right next to him, and to be fair, the referee was an absolute disaster all game. Had no control, very inconsistent. So yeah, the Premier League needs to look into it, and you know, they've got, I think, new system anyways, where they review the actual referees, and hopefully they actually ask him proper questions about that, because that performance from the ref today was absolutely disaster.
Well, but obviously he misses that, and then moments later, books Zaha for winning the ball. You know, I mean, Anthony Taylor, we've got history with him. I can remember some Bristol City matches, him refereeing when we had Warnock in charge, and I think he was one of the... No, it might have been him or Bobby Madley, someone like that, where Warnock accused them of punching the air when Bristol City scored, that kind of stuff. But
at least that's all he accused him of.
I knew I shouldn't have said that when I was talking to you. Anyway, but I mean, obviously, it's a scandalous decision met with another scandalous decision. But obviously, we've got no right of reply here. But you know, again, what? It's certainly another argument for VAR, isn't it?
It is. It's frustrating, because it's all part of a wider point and a wider sort of if you want to call it a tactic, you know, by Watford. They've come out in the week. You know, the manager's sort of had a dig at the player. All right, it's not, you know, it's nothing personal necessarily, but, you know, the manager directly commented on Wilf in his sort of pre-game build-up. We all know what the Watford fans think of him. We all know that the Watford players have a bit of a history of trying to duff him up and calling him a diver. And, you know, last season they managed to, you know, they achieved getting him booked for diving incorrectly. And it's, you know, it's so glaringly obvious, and it's such a you know, crass tactic that, you know, after 4 minutes they're trying to rip his Achilles tendon off, and the referee doesn't do anything about it, and then, you know, several minutes later, Wilf makes a, all right, maybe it is a foul, it might be a foul, I don't think it is, but I could see why a ref might give it, but it's not a yellow card, certainly for a first offence, and again, he's just had a potential career threatening, you know, tackle made on him and not seen the correct retribution. So to compound the first decision with the second and showing him a yellow card, knowing that there's then, what, 80 odd minutes left of the game where, you know, they're just going to be trying to wind him up, getting, and I think it's Daryl Yanmat spends the rest of the first half in Wilf's ear, pretending that Wilf's caught him with an elbow and falling to the floor, then going back for another bit. Like, it's, you know, it, and I know that you can say, well, it's because he's a decent player. Of course, they're going to try and snuff him out. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's foul play. And it's, you know, it's not the first time it's happened. It's certainly not with that team. And, the officials have got to be a bit wiser to it. You know, do your homework. And, I mean, the first angle I saw on that, the Kapuei challenge, I thought, that doesn't look too bad. But that wasn't the angle that the referee had. And then I saw it from that angle. And I mean, like I say, Graham Souness was more upset about it than I was. You know, it's disgusting. And it doesn't matter if it's after 4 or 5 minutes or if it's the last, you know, last kick of the game. The correct action needs to be taken.
Yeah, it's completely infuriating. It's game changing. But as you're basically suggesting, it changes the whole attitude of Watford. It allows, like you say, we've put Wilf on the back foot because he gets a yellow card for nothing. So, like you say, he's got the rest of the game where they're not only, they've got this sort of carte blanche to wind him up, but he has to sort of tread a tightrope as well. He can't, you know, chase down, you know, put pressure on the defence like he wants to, because he can't take that risk that he might accidentally catch someone a little bit late and take another yellow. You know, he can't play his natural game. So all of a sudden it's, you know, the two things that the referee has done, you know, allow a red card to go, challenge to go unpunished. Well, to get a yellow card, but it's effectively unpunished. But also to punish Will for very little, and it's culminated in making our most effective player ineffective, and it's handed Watford. It basically rewards them for such cynical play, and they were terrible all game. I mean, I think this is probably why it's quite so annoying, Darcy, to lose the game against Watford, because it's how they play. It's how they. Yeah. Approach the match. They're one of those nasty little teams.
Yeah, and we'll get to it later, but like the time wasting and stuff as well, just, yeah, so annoying. But
yeah, just a negative bunch. And dear, I'm sure the crowd were getting a little angry at Watford's antics as well.
Yeah, can I swear?
Yeah, Mike, you can beep
yeah,
it.
Yeah, everyone was absolutely pissed off, because it was just, I couldn't believe it. You know, he gave Wilf a yellow card, and all game long the Watford players were, as Darcy said, time wasting. They were all, when Wilf didn't have the ball, and like I know he gave Yanmat a yellow card, but they were pushing Wilf about, and just, his decision was just so inconsistent. Palace would do something, and then Watford would do something even worse, and he wouldn't give a foul. I just couldn't believe it, and yeah, I have nothing else to say then apart from, the Premier League needs to look into it, and he needs to get punished for that, because I don't think it's all due to the referee. I think tactically at times we were a bit out of place, but the referee did play a massive part in the result today as well.
Yeah, sure. I don't think we're blaming the referee for us losing the game. We managed to do that quite well on our own, but he certainly made it easier for Watford to get away with what they were doing. But, you know, look, first half we were the better side, I thought. You know, we dominated quite a lot of possession. We created the best chances, and when we start talking about chances, we have to talk about Christian Benteke. Two big chances from headers in that first half. And we'll talk about his performance in general if we can. But Darcy, what's your view on Benteke? Obviously, last season, struggled for goals. started this season, everyone thought, well, clean slate. You know, we're gonna get behind him after the sort of penalty thing at the end of last season made everyone kind of just put everything, all that negativity to bed. He's looked hungrier. He's looked, you know, a little bit sharper, but it hasn't taken long for the knife to come out. So what's your view on him?
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably still start him, to be honest. It's more difficult the just the longer it goes again this season. You kind of thought, start again, new season, scored in pre-season, you know, you're expecting him to sort of come back stronger. And I still think he has in some parts of his game, but you think about it, he hit the bar at Fulham, he had a good chance, well, good header at Liverpool, three chances today. And weirdly, I think maybe the first one was the worst in terms of his attempt. And then the second and the third, which we'll get to it second half. But yeah, that first one when it came across, it's quite poor. Really,
well, yeah, cause as an effort, he's got Zaha coming in behind as well, which you think might have been the better option. But yeah, he's headed easily wide for that first chance. Obviously, the second, excuse me, that comes in, it's a good save from Foster, you got to say. But again, it's probably straight at him where, you know, Benteke firing all cylinders will find a bottom or a top corner, really, and just, you know, and again, you come back to the...
I remember when he scored against Leicester away last season, it was sort of a similar position that kind of went through, you know, it's just not going for him at the moment.
No, you're absolutely right, actually, thinking back to that, because Leicester, he headed that down and it almost bounced over the bar. It kind of went down and up through the keeper and into the roof of the net. But you're right, those are the fine margins, you know. And again, as you point out, against Fulham, fine margins, against Liverpool, very fine margins. But he's getting stick again, and people are starting to say he looks slow today, looks off the pace. DR, what was your thoughts of Benteke's performance overall?
I thought his hold-up play was decent, but as a striker, you expect, you know, he had two massive chances, you expect him to finish that, and he didn't. Overall, I've come to the conclusion that for Benteke to start scoring goals, as you saw today, both of the chances that were created, which Benteke needed, scored off from crosses. And when we did play Wilf out wide in the second half, and, you know, I lost all my thought now.
Yes. Well, that's staying in, definitely.
Yeah.
Thought that we should cross more and play Wilf out wide?
No. I just think we should change our style of play. We should play out Wilf out wide more because Wilf was silent all game long, apart from the fact when Maya came on and Wilf went out wide. And I think that helped Benteke as well, because when Wilf was out wide and when we do actually cross the balls in, even in the first half, when we did actually cross the balls in, it was due to, that's how Benteke got his chances. But when we play, you know, Benteke central, and Wilf alongside him, I don't think we have that width, and that's why he's not as effective as he is. So I think we need to play more of a 4-3-3 formation.
Well, this is an interesting point. I was sort of half debating it earlier on, although I wasn't really in the mood. So I was debating it in one sentence stuff to Tom, who's been on the show, one of our newer people, who's been on one of the shows in pre-season. But he was making the point that he's very much Zaha as a winger, and I'm saying that he isn't. Zaha's a forward, and he's got 9 goals in 11 Premier League games, and he's our best striker, so that's why he's playing up front. But it's not that I don't see the point. I think so I can't remember who suggested it. It might have been someone in one of our chats, or it might have been somewhere on social media that I saw. Someone pointed out that actually converting our formation during the game to a 4-3-3 and having Mayer in the team and having him as a player that's kind of off the striker might work a lot better and allow Wilf that space to work out wide. So I do see the sense in it, but at the same time, I don't think we're looking at a system that's won us an awful lot of points. We're looking at a system that's allowed Wilf to be a real goal threat. And because we've lost to Watford, people want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And I understand that it's a system that doesn't get the best out of Benteke, but I'd perhaps rather see us drop Benteke and try someone else. Dio, you want to come back on that, so please do, then get your views, Albert.
It's not only Benteke, he doesn't get the best out of Wilf as well. Throughout the game, Wilf was pretty much silent. where until we change and put Maya on and Wilf went out wide. I don't think it works when Wilf and Benteke are up front, because we loft the balls to Benteke and we hope for the best, and that it lands at, you know, lands at Wilf's feet, which it doesn't majority of the times. The only times I think Wilf up front will work is, you know, when we had Townsend last season. I think that worked pretty well because we can actually play on the floor. So if you want to play Wilf up front, I think we should bring in Jordan Ayew, and like that it worked because Jordan Ayew is not target man. You know, he can actually get the ball and dribble just like Wilf can. But when we play Benteke up front, it just doesn't work because Wilf doesn't get as much as the ball. And we saw that in the second half when we did actually bring on Maya, and we did see Wilf end up scoring a goal because he went out wide and he was more free there and actually got the ball.
I do totally get that point. And what I will say before I get over this view is that I think you're right in terms of Wilf is only going to work as a forward player if you're playing to, you know, playing to feet, working the ball through the midfield, you know, playing it into feet. What I think is relevant is that where I think we've been at fault this season in a couple of games, I think a spell where we played Fulham, and certainly a spell against Liverpool and again second half against Watford, is that we were too direct. I think sometimes the players, if things aren't quite going right, when you do have a target man, their almost default position is to punt it up to him, whereas you want to see us take a bit more risk with passing, and we've done that under Roy. I suppose that's the point I'm making. Everyone's talking like we've got this massive problem, and we haven't. We've played really well with the system that Roy's put together the majority of games that we've played. But I understand when people talk about getting the best out of players and playing in their natural positions. And then you get back to the debate, well, you know, Townsend's left-footed, so he should play on the left. Zaha's right-footed, he should play on the right. You get into those sorts of debates as well. And it's sort of, everyone starts talking about it to get crosses to Benteke. Well, my point is, it might not be worth building a team around Benteke. I'd much sooner build a team around Zaha, and I don't know if you can do that with him playing out in the wing all the time. Albert, your views.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Tricky one.
Yeah, it is.
You know, there's very good arguments, obviously, extremely good arguments for saying that, you know, Wilf should be out wide. That's where he sort of made his name. He has the beat. He can have the beating of any fullback, you know, in the league. He gets them one-on-one, and that essentially equates to more chances coming into the box, whether that's a cross or whether that's Wilf, you know, carrying the ball into the box himself and, you know, getting chopped down for a penalty, or again getting a ball across to hopefully a loitering Benteke. But you know, he's also potent up top, and if you're looking to play on the counter attack, and you know, you're relying on Benteke to sort of come a bit deeper and be a bit of a battering ram and to turn a play into slipping a ball in and having someone pacey run onto it, you know, there's big arguments for that as well, because Wilf obviously has got the legs to just, as we saw at Fulham, just to run and just get past people and get a shot away. So there's definitely an argument for both. I think, you know, if I had to choose, yeah, I'd put Wilf out wide and hopefully get more service into Benteke, who would know that he is the focal point up the top of the pitch, and he needs to be getting into positions to, you know, anticipate balls coming in from Townsend or Zaha, whoever it is that's playing out wide.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like you say, though, it's a difficult one to... You can never be 100% sure. I mean, I keep thinking to myself, I'd like to see Sirloaf have a run of games. And I know a lot of people are very negative on him. But
I'm trying not to say anything.
No, I mean, I know you don't. You don't rate him, right?
I've not seen anything that makes me. You know, again, I'm not gonna write him off. I'm not gonna say he should never play again because you know I'm quite vocal. You know, for giving Benteke a sort of stay of execution and hoping that he comes good. But Christian Benteke's got a, you know, it's sort of a bit black and white now. But you know, Christian Benteke's got a history of being capable of regularly scoring goals in this league, and I've seen nothing from Suoloff to encourage me that you know he could go on to similar things, even half of those things.
Darcy, jump in there.
Yeah, I'd just say if you want to give Benteke a break, I think Jordan Ayew is the one who's shown that he can score in the Premier League, and for me, he's probably I'd go to him first before Suoloff. I know Roy's been bringing Suoloff on, but yeah, I just think he's got a track record of doing it before. So,
okay, what do you say, Curtis?
Yeah, I have to agree with Darcy there. Why not play an Ayew? He could actually change up the game, and we can change our style. If you know today, if we put on Ayew instead of Suoloff, I don't know if Suoloff didn't do that bad today. He was good in the air, but it just would have you know given a different test to Watford. We need to see more of Ayew. He has scored in the Premier League before, and it's been like three games now, and he still hasn't come on.
I was looking for a comment while we were talking there. Really sorry I couldn't find it because I can't give the person credit. But they messaged in to say that Suoloff won 4 out of 4 headers after coming on the pitch, and Benteke had only won 40% of his aerial duels. And that's extremely unlike Christian Benteke to be losing out like that. Just a point of view. Albert?
Yeah, I just wanted to tackle a similar point with DR. You know, and this isn't meant to sound as confrontational as it might, but, you know, yes, Suoloff won his headers, but, you know, he's winning headers that Benteke normally wins, all right? Which, okay, he didn't, 40, I don't know how many that is, but 40% of his aerial battles today he won. But people are, you know, the stick that's used to beat Christian Benteke is, well, his headers don't go anywhere, they don't lead to anything, you know, there's no one running onto it or whatever. So that's used as a stick to beat Christian Benteke with. But, you know, the argument then, for, and I know it's certainly this one, I've seen the comments on our Facebook page, you know, the one argument is, well, Suoloff won all his headers, so, you know, he's got more potential than Benteke. But again, they're not, I didn't see anything that was you know, he got his head to it. It wasn't a nice glancing flick on. It was just he got there first. So I don't see, I think there's, Christian Benteke's got a weight of expectation on him. And yeah, he's not living up to it. I get it. I'm not saying I'm happy with his scoring record, but it just seems to be that there is a certain decent number of people that are willing to just write him off straight away for, if he wins his headers, they're not decent enough, you know, and if it's, but when Suoloff wins his headers, oh, look, well, he's just as good as Christian Benteke. Yeah, you know, they're no way more effective. So I'm struggling to see the argument for binning Benteke and putting Suoloff in.
Sure. Go on, DR. We'll wrap this.
Yeah, this final point. All the Suoloff won headers, etc. He's only won, what was it, 4 headers? We're acting like he won like 15 as well. So yeah, nothing to get too excited about. He's only won 4 headers. And as Albert said, it's not all about headers as well. It's about the striker itself and what they could bring to the team. So I don't think Suoloff does bring much to the team right now anyway, so give Ayew a chance.
I like him. I like to see him get a run of games, but at the same time, you're quite right, I'd like to see Ayew as well. You know, what's the point of signing a player if you don't see him? So hopefully both have got a part to play throughout the course of the season. Of course, it wasn't just Benteke missing big chances. James McArthur in the first half, DR. You must have thought that one was in.
Yeah, I expected that to go in. James McArthur, you know, he's normally clinical in front of goal, but it was just unfortunate. And today, that was it, basically. In the first half, if we did take our chances, it would have been a different game, but we just didn't. And it actually cost us in the end, which is unfortunate. You know, Jimmy Mack in them situations, just anyone really, even Benteke in that situation, you need to be scoring that if you're a professional footballer in the Premier League. But he shot it right at Ben Foster. And yeah, even Roy Hodgson said it. We were really good in the first half, and then in the second half, I think us missing chances actually ended up costing us the game.
Well, Darcy, obviously I'm talking about McArthur missing a chance, and it was a very, very good chance. But, you know, he's a hero for a lot of Palace fans. He's very well thought of. But when you look at the fact we've got, you know, Cheick Kouyaté on the bench, and we've got Max Meyer on the bench. Is there, you know, is he one where his place is at threat, do you think?
I think it probably is kind of medium term, long term. I think you can't really drop him after the first couple of games this season, and the end of last season as well. But he's been playing well. I still thought he was one of our best players, if not the best player today. So, yeah, I think it would be a bit unfair to drop him based on his performances so far.
I understand that. I mean, yeah. I suppose in terms of ability, I don't know. This is why I keep getting caught when I start thinking about it. I think of him as a real hard-working player. You know, as you'll always get 100% out of him. He's box to box. He's got so much energy. You know, puts in a great challenge, but also he's good going forward as well. But I can't help but think when you look at the quality of a player like Max Meyer, and you look at the quality of that Cheick Kouyaté has, that, yeah, realistically, are we rewarding effort over ability, and is there a danger that by doing that, and I think of Jeff Schlupp in these terms as well, are we perhaps keeping our better players on the bench just for the sake of it, really, or is it, you know, am I being unfair? Sorry, I didn't really ask anyone that question. I've just dumped my brain.
I think it's a bit, if you're looking, it's a bit harsh if you want to drop Maka due to his performances. And I think you suggested that he doesn't bring that much into the team. Well, you can actually, if you look at Luka this season, has Luka been, you know, is Luka playing at his best football as well? You could actually hint, should we drop Luka? Because today he was abysmal. Well, if you're looking at performances,
let's talk about performances.
You know. Luka today was, you know, he was really bad. But you know, I thought Luka's worse than Maka. So I think we should look at more about performances rather than what they can bring onto the pitch. If that makes sense,
Albert, what's your thoughts?
I certainly don't think that Cheick Kouyaté and Jordan Ayew, and well, it's more Kouyaté and Meyer than it is Jordan Ayew. I don't think they're being kept on the bench because, you know, Roy doesn't consider them first teamers. I think it's more probably the fact that, you know, it's more of a blend them in slowly, let them get up to speed, let them have a bit more pre-season. And then I'm under no illusions that we'll probably see the likes of Schlupp and MacArthur, you know, probably end up on the bench in place of those two, you know, depending on the system, depending on the team we're playing. I think it's probably only the way it is now, just out of familiarity and not wanting to change too much too early. And, you know, giving the guys a bit of a chance just to settle in before chucking them in at the deep end.
Do you think maybe Luka, is it the World Cup that's affected Luka and his start, and the fact he hasn't had the full pre-season? Plus he's also played all summer. What do you think is perhaps missing Johan Kabay?
I think it's probably six of one, half dozen the other, to be honest, because, you know, he's been used to playing with Kabay since, you know, day dot when he got at the club. And, you know, if Kabay was fit, he was second, third name on the team sheet. And, you know, you do build up those sort of relationships and that sort of, you know, without having to, you know, think too much about where a player's going to be. And they probably had a, you know, you could see certainly towards the end of last season, and I include MacArthur in this, there was a great understanding between those three players. So, yeah, that's probably a part of it. And that's why you're probably seeing James MacArthur sort of staying in, you know, because to take a buyout and to take MacArthur out, you might find Luka even more at sea. I mean, yeah, he was poor today. And he, like I say, and going back to your World Cup point, yeah, he's probably still a bit sort of raw from that. And, you know, he's been dropped from the squad because it sounds like he's had a bit of trouble with the manager. So it's probably just a few factors that, you know, that's given him a bit of an off period. But, you know, all footballers go for a bit of a dip in form. And as great as he is, he's not, you know, he's not perfect.
No, I suppose not. But again, I suppose DR's making a good point that you should be looking at performances. And if someone's going to drop out, it should be the player who's playing worse. But I don't know. It's a lot to think about there, because the midfield really did fall apart. And I suppose that answers my next question, really, which is, you know, it was a decent first half. What on earth happened with the second half? What you know, did... I don't know. Well, my thoughts are that Watford changed it up a bit. and I can't really put my finger on what they did, which is a little frustrating. But they just seem to have a little bit more space, and you know, they must have done something to. I think they stopped pressing quite so high so quickly, and they kind of dropped off into some spaces, and it allowed, you know, there were some massive great gaps in our midfield, which was really disappointing to see. And again, and we'll get into analysing the first goal next. And it was a huge long gap that Kapua had to run into, and the only challenge he got was a real half-hearted challenge from Luka Milivojevic. It just kind of bounced off him, and I don't really know. You know, that's so unlike us to have. We usually got these two solid banks of four that Roy keeps the gaps between players nice and small. It's all really well organised, and it just went out the window. And I think perhaps there was some sort of positional shift from Watford that unsettled us a little bit. But basically, it just looks so poor. And obviously, it's a great finish from Pereira. We've talked about that. But, you know, DR, from your perspective, again, in the stands, it must have been a little bit soul-destroyed to see the team come out and misplace every pass. And then for the goal to be so easy, must be incredibly frustrating to watch.
Yeah, it was. I don't think it was... I thought they actually pressured us even more and they didn't really let us play football. I think that was the main reason. And it seemed like they wanted it more. I'm not too sure why. But that's what it seemed like. And especially in midfield, we were just getting outrun. If you look at the first goal, the way that Kapir just ran past, it's not Luka type. I think performances overall today in midfield, and especially Luka, it was just so poor that Kapir can actually do that. And it played a massive part, especially in the second half, where it led to Watford just running through our midfield like they weren't even there. So I think poor performances from individuals, that it played a part to our performance in the second half. And also Watford wanting it more. It seemed like the players were well up for it in the second half.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think that's where we should have been a bit more cynical, like them. You know, like Maka and Luka both, yeah, he ran past both of them and they both sort of looked like they were maybe going to just foul him and bring him down, stop him breaking away. And they didn't really. They sort of half went to like tug him or make a challenge and then just let him go. So I think we could have like done a bit more of what they did to us there.
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on. It's, you want to see, and that's, I hate to sort of say, but it's always been, you know, the best Palace teams have always had that physicality, have always been able to mix it as well as play decent football. And
what would Michael Hughes have done then?
He'd have taken out both of the legs and probably pulled off one of his arms and eaten it. You know, he just, you know, I mean, you don't mess about in those circumstances. The whole take one for the team, you know, take a card, stop the run. Don't just sort of, you know, put half a shoulder in and then just watch him. It's so unlike us. You know, we've got...
Can I tell you what's even more infuriating about that? Yeah. Is that it was the softest of challenges, right? It was where he should have just wiped him out. I mean, let's prefix this with Kapua shouldn't have been on the pitch, right? But it's such a soft attempt at a challenge from Luka. Yet the referee still plays on advantage like he would have given it for a free kick anyway. When it was the softest challenge that wouldn't have even warranted a free kick.
Just compounding
the misery.
Yeah, it's like I say. See, it's unlike Palace, and I'm sure Roy will be getting into the team about that, because you cannot, if you're going to concede a goal, you've got to make your opposition work for it. You can't just hand it to them on a plate like we did there. And unfortunately, we've gone behind, and what you want to see is you want to see a response. Well, you want to see a response on the pitch, but you also want to see the manager making some kind of a change as well. It doesn't have to be a sub. It could be a tactical change. It could be a tactical shift. I'll be honest, I thought we did absolutely nothing. DR, did we do anything at all until they scored their second?
No, and it was so frustrating because we needed to change something. It was not rocket science. Like, I'm not a manager, but everyone, and probably you guys watching and some people watching on TV, they suggest the same thing, and people at the stands, they were screaming for it. Like, we needed to change up. It just wasn't working. And when we did change up, we took control of the game and we actually did score a goal, but it was a bit too late. And it's so frustrating because we've actually got quality players on the bench. Last season, Roy done the same thing, but there's no excuse for now, because we've actually got players who can impact the game. And just like Max Meyer, when he came on, he actually did impact the game. Whereas last season, you could argue, would this players actually do anything decent? But yeah, now we do actually have players, but we're not using them early enough to actually properly impact the game.
To take that on, Darcy, is it a problem? We love Roy. He's been fantastic for Palace. He's a great manager. He's achieved very impressive things with Palace. But this is a characteristic of his, isn't it? And is it something that you find frustrating?
Yeah, he doesn't like making changes. They come late. A little bit, I thought, they weren't making any chances either. It was one of those ones where I was like, oh, we're just kind of getting ourselves steady, ready for a late push. It was sort of like there was a kind of nothing 10 minutes after they scored. And so it wasn't like we weren't throwing the game away, but you just want to take the initiative a bit more. But I suppose if one way of reading it is, well, we were just steadying the ship. They'd had a few chances before they scored as well. So they didn't really make any chances after that in the game. I still would have liked to see a bit more attacking.
He just seems to want to wait. It's, I think, the magic 75 minutes. It's, I'm not saying I want to go back to the Alan Pardew days of a triple sub, or in Holloway days of a triple sub as soon as something goes wrong. We were second best for the entire of that second half. We really were. And you can't just wait around and expect something to change. You know, it's that old adage, if you don't change anything, you shouldn't expect anything to get better if you don't change anything. Something like that. What's the adage, Albert? My brain doesn't work.
I'm not even sure where you were going. It's not ringing any bells.
Don't expect the same results if you don't make change. Something like that. It's something along those lines.
If you do the same thing over and over again and expect different results, that's madness.
That's it. That's the one. Yeah, you'd know.
And I think even I've made it a bit clunkier. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But there was warning signs. There was warning signs before Kapoue went on that nice little maraud through our midfield. There was warning signs before that we were losing the middle of the park, and we needed either someone who could hold the ball and get us up the pitch a bit more, or we needed to put someone in there who could sort of fight fire with fire. I'm thinking of someone like Kouyaté, chuck him in there and scrap a bit more, because Luca and MacArthur, for all their endeavour, looked a bit soft and squidgy in the middle. It's frustrating. And you look at what happened when Maya comes on, and you do wonder what could have been just with a little bit more time.
Yeah, absolutely right.
In Roy's post-match comments, he said, if the game had gone on another 5-10 minutes, I'm really confident we'd have got an equaliser. It's like, well, we'll make the subs 5 or 10 minutes earlier then.
Yes, it's infuriating. Games tend to stick to the rough 90-minute pattern, don't they? So you just...
I have found that.
Yeah, it's quite a common thing. Now, it is a very frustrating characteristic of Roy. And I have to say, it's not always been a bad thing. I think certainly fans can be very impatient, and it also there's the expectation that by changing things you'll make it better. Well, that doesn't always work, does it? Sometimes you change something and it makes it worse. But I think we were in a position there where, I think certainly following the game the way I was, it was the entire of Twitter and Facebook was asking where the subs were. And yeah, the irony of the fact that Watford were making a sub before we were, just as they scored. And look, second goal, it's a fluke, okay? It is a fluke. He's whipped the ball in, and you've got to ask questions of the keeper in that situation. I'm sorry, but you do. For a keeper of that height to effectively fall backwards, not jump, he's either in the wrong position, or he's not reacted well enough, but it's certainly poor goalkeeping.
I thought you were saying the wrong profession.
Not quite that bad. He's been great, but that to me was a mistake. And look, I was very frustrated by it, because it was in a period where we were crying out for a change, and the game was lost by inaction, by inactivity, by not making that change. we didn't give ourselves a chance, and we went 2-0 down, and it's too far. It's too far and too late by that point. Dear.
It's with that second goal at the stadium. Yeah, I thought it was like full on Hennessy's fault. But looking back at the replays and the way that the ball dipped in, even with Hennessy's height, it's just a bit too hard for Hennessy to actually catch that ball, because the dip was just incredible. It's not even meant to be a shot. It's meant to be a cross. So Hollebas didn't even mean that as well. So I don't know. I don't know whether it's all Hennessy's fault. I just don't think it is. Like, the dip was very hard for Hennessy. It made it very hard for Hennessy to catch the ball.
No, look, it wasn't. Look, I'm not saying it was easy. I'm just saying I personally would say that's keeper error. But I can understand the argument that it's difficult. It was a fluke. It wasn't intended. Those things are all true. But again, at the top level, there's very fine margins between success and failure. And that was one of them. So there we go. Disappointed. Darcy, what did you reckon? Was it Hennessy at fault, or you give him the benefit of the doubt there?
I think it was right in the corner, but it came a long way. And he didn't get that close. I mean, the other thing, it looked to me like PVA, I don't think he's going to be able to block it, but it looked like he thought it was going past the post and didn't jump on the line either. I don't think he's going to get up there because it's too high, but it also looked to me like he misread it a bit.
Fair point. I think that goal probably sums the game up for us though. You know, it was just, it's sloppy. We haven't stopped the ball coming in, and it's just, you know, there's a whole bunch of what ifs and buts and all that kind of stuff. But it just, yeah, it wasn't good. And I think that's the sort of best thing I could probably say about the game, is it wasn't good. But these things happen. It's only one game, and it was a disappointing performance. But ultimately, you know, it's not that long till we play another match. Okay, let's look. We did score. It was directly after a change. Mayer comes on for Jeffrey Schlupp. Thought he linked really well with Zaha straight away. Obviously, Wilf peeling out to the left-hand side, as DR was talking about earlier. Lovely bit of interplay, DR. And great, great goal from Wilf, isn't it? Again, leaving people in his wake. Lovely finish through the legs of the keeper. Just class, really.
Yeah, it was a great goal. Imagine that goal was scored against Wayne Hennessy, though. But it was like, I understand it was a good finish, but it was a bit too easy from Ben Foster. It went through his legs. Yeah, but the thing is, as soon as Maya comes on, the game did change, and Maya was involved in a goal as well by giving the ball to Zaha and assisting him. It just shows that. And even though that happened, I still fear that Roy wouldn't change. And as you said, Chris, it's the 75 mark, etc. That's when he does his substitutions, and I don't know why. But yeah, hopefully this might, you know, put something into his head, and he might consider changing his tactics before the 75 mark. But yeah, imagine it was 10 minutes earlier, the game could have been a different game. Like, with 5 minutes added on, we could have actually nicked another goal. But I don't know. It's disappointing after Maya comes on, we do all that, but it's just for nothing.
Yeah, you're right. It was for nothing. But as we mentioned earlier on, Albert, it could have been for something with Joel Ward right at the end there. Do you think that one was in?
Oh, Joel. Did I think it was in? I mean, yeah, I was off, you know, one arse cheek off the sofa, up, ready to celebrate. And it's that cruel perspective watching it on the TV where you don't know that or you only find out that it hasn't gone in until you see it bouncing off the advertising hoardings. You know, such is the sort of perspective. And I mean, I don't know if you saw it at the end, on the final whistle, it cut to him and he looked like he'd lost the cup final. Bless him, he was sort of borderline tears. And you know, yeah, it's disappointing, but you know, it's Joel Ward, isn't it? You know, he's a right back. He's not necessarily who you look to, you know, when you've got a free header in the box. So, I mean, I haven't looked, and I don't know if he's getting pelters online, but again, imagine if that was Christian Benteke, he'd be locking himself away through fear of leaving his house, I imagine. Yeah, it's disappointing. And you say, what could have been? It could have been a really salvaged, decent 2 points.
Yeah, absolutely fair. Points, yeah, point.
Point, sorry, point.
Yeah. So that's what you get for a draw, isn't it?
Apparently, yeah, I have found that.
Dio had his hand up, then he put it down again. I just want to know what he was going to say. Is he going to
Yeah, where's Scott down when you need him? That was such a, like, a Scott down moment right there. Like, Scott down with headers, yeah. It was disappointing overall. But I was celebrating. Even though I was on the ground, I was about to celebrate. And then
Love's a miss, yeah, Dion. Love's
and,
a miss.
And then, and then, yeah, it went out wide. I think everyone, where I was sitting next to the corner flag, everyone there was before it went in, and it's just so disappointing. It just sums up the game. It just was an odd day.
Did the 3,000 Watford fans that were there go, ah?
Oh, they were horrendous. They're absolutely horrendous.
Why are there so many people dressed as seats? What's happening?
Unbelievable.
I don't know. It's just, even the support, like, for it, they were just awful. They sang right after the score, that's when they sang, and then after that, they went all silent again, and then they said, Zaha, what's the score? Apart from that, I can't really remember what they did. They were silent all game.
Didn't even know what the bloody score was. I mean, useless.
It's inappropriate to ask a player who's on the pitch as well, isn't it, really? They should be able to check the internet or something.
Yeah, come on, man.
It's silly. I'm going to sort of leave the review there, other than to go through and see who you thought our best player on the day was. Darcy, who was your Palace man of the match?
Sounds like DR disagrees, but I think probably MacArthur. I don't think anyone was much above 7 out of 10, but I thought he did his usual, got up and down, did some good stuff.
All right, Albert.
I thought Townsend's service was good initially, but it sort of, you know, it then became a case of either being over hit or being woefully under hit. He came on and got an assist, but I thought Max Meyer just looks like a. I can see, again, I'm not getting carried away, but, you know, the just from his stature and the way he holds the ball, the sort of comparisons to Messi. I mean, there's a certain quality of player where, you know, I think probably 80% of Premier League footballers take a touch and then turn and look up and move. Max Meyer's one of those players who's taking a touch and turning and looking up all within, like, you know, a heartbeat. And he just looks like he's got real quality and real awareness.
Nice.
And
he doesn't. You know, doesn't lose the ball, does he? You give him the ball.
Doesn't lose the ball.
He's able to protect.
Putting a beautiful challenge that, you know, someone else should have put in on a couple of the Watford midfielders, you know, and bought a yellow. He just looked like a different league. And whoever loses their place to him in the long term, you know, shouldn't feel too aggrieved, I don't think.
No. All right, Dio, your favourite Palace player of the day?
It's so hard. I honestly don't know.
You can say none of them.
What? No man of the match?
Yeah, he can if you want.
It's a bit. I'll give it to Maka for his determination. He was running around all game long and he didn't really stop. But no one really special. As Darcy said, no one's above a 7 out of 10 today. And yeah, it was just one of them games. But yeah, I'll give Maka for his work ethic.
Okay, well, I'm going to go with Martin Kelly for last minute call up. Didn't really put a foot wrong, you know, was strong all game. Again, nothing spectacular, but I appreciate the effort and the concentration from someone who didn't know they were playing until about 5 minutes before kickoff. So well done, Martin Kelly. Good stuff. Well, I'm going to try and round up a little bit of contact now. I'll just mention a couple of comments. There might be some questions in there. I'll throw it to the panel. Jake Ebo has been saying, why does Roy wait until we're screwed to even think about a sub? Well, I think we've kind of covered most of that. I think we don't really know the why. We just know that he does. We've speculated. Obviously, Darcy was speculating that it was, you know, let the team settle and let the team sort of maybe build up a bit of momentum, something like that. You know, I guess personally, I think he must believe and trust in the players that are out there. But I think there's little doubt in this game. It really did feel like something that needed to change a lot sooner. And as Albert quite put it, is Roy's wishing the game went on longer. Perhaps he should act sooner. Mark Cole said it really must be time to evaluate Benteke's overall contribution. Limited pace to run channels or trouble defenders on the deck. misses sitters on air, in air and on the deck. What is his function? We're a better team when we play on the deck. Mayer in behind mobile forward, please. DR, I suppose that's backing up all of your comments, isn't it?
Yeah. I think next game, not against... I don't know it, if Roy will actually give Mayer minutes against Swansea, because ideally I want Mayer to start against Southampton. Jeffrey Schlupp, he didn't really give too much today, and when Mayer did come on, he was really good. And yeah, that's what I want. I want Mayer to start, and I want also Wilf out wide. I think that will get the best out of Benteke by crossing the balls into him, and also get the best out of Wilf as well.
Okay, Darcy, this one's for you from Lord Joe Lee. He's saying the frustrating thing is Benteke's getting into the right positions but not taking chances. But he's also saying a lot of teams will lose at Watford this year. But this is his point. He reckons that Mayer, Wan-Bissaka, Guaita and Sørloth should all start against Southampton. Do you agree with that?
I think let's see who starts against Swansea and let's see who plays well. I think... I don't think he'll drop Hennessy just for today. But I think long run, Guaita is going to end up number one, but we'll see. Coyote, yes. And I think all the new signings should play on Tuesday. Let's see how they get on and then take it from there.
You've just reminded me that that we're going to that, aren't we, Dio?
I've got cold, mate. I can't come.
I'm not letting you back out of it.
Why?
It's only £7.50 and hours and hours and yes, hours away.
That's the problem, hours and hours away in Swansea. Swansea is so dirty. Yeah. I don't care, Chris. I don't care. It's going to be horrendous. Watch when Benteke misses another sitter.
Theo, do you know that Swansea's in a different country?
Yeah, I do. And they've got
just checking. Then you've got to take your passport.
Nah, it's the what's it called? Their writing is a bit weird as well. It seems like some
writing.
Their writing is simply in Welsh. Have you had your jabs yet at the doctors before we get into Wales?
See, that's a problem. That's why I can't. That's why I can't come. They were overbooked on Monday, so I couldn't get a jab done.
That's a shame. Neil Porter's just saying, if we can't beat a shower like Watford, we'll flirt with relegation yet again. Poor showing all round. All right, Neil.
this
James
show?
Macy need... yeah, I don't know. Maybe. We need to find a way to replace... This is James Macy. We need to find a way to replace Benteke, Zaha and Townsend on the wings with someone in the... Hang on. There's a full stop after Benteke. That's why that went wrong. We need to find a way to replace Benteke. Zaha and Townsend on the wings with someone in the middle is the way forward. Make subs earlier when it's clear we're not working. James Macy just backing everything up that other people are saying. So was Daniel Skipsey. Claire Corston as well, saying she can't fathom why Roy's waiting until 2-0 down before we start making changes. Josh F. Who do we sacrifice? How do we reshuffle to make sure Wilf can play out wide? Obviously discuss that at length in the show today, but if you've got any of your own views, do get in touch with those as well through the course of the week. I'm sure we'll pick them up for the preview show and stuff like that as well. Michael Hart reckon Roy was outmanaged at times today. Hugely disappointing. His loyalty to the starting 11 is actually a detriment to the team. Learn from this, Roy. Not sure you learn much at 71, but maybe he does. Maybe he does. That's a good name. Pudders still playing. Rip them apart in the first half. Keeper doesn't make one of those saves. We win and everyone is happy. Fine margins. Dust off and move on. Which I quite like. That's quite a positive message. And it does sort of feed into sort of my thinking, really, which is it is one game. You know, we lost it. It's frustrating. But it was very fine margins. If we'd actually capitalised on our play in the first half and referee did his job, I think obviously that's a game we win. But we can't say that. Can't keep saying that. If we're saying the same thing next week against Southampton, we played well, we should have won, or the ref cost us, or blah, 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 blah. You string a few results like that together and things can get very frustrating indeed. But early days. All right. We'll leave it there, I think. Excuse me. Just hoping that Mikey will just sort of cut out the bits where I'm unable to breathe. Excuse me. Right, so thank you for listening, and thanks to my panel, and also to Marky for producing. You can subscribe to our show via your chosen podcast apps so you don't miss a thing. With three shows a week, we strongly recommend you do so. And if you need any help accessing the show in any way, do let us know. A huge thanks as well to everyone who got in touch to help shape the show. You can do the same by making sure you engage with the Back of the Nest social media accounts. We'll be back in midweek with both the preview podcast, damn it, and the Love Sport Live show.
It's all about you.
It is all about me. We've got that with you. Forget that show. Actually, no, you're on that every week, aren't you, Albert? You're one of the guys.
Definitely one of the guys. Lads.
So anyway, the lads. So yes, like I say, midweek, the preview podcast, and also our Love Sport Live show, Thursday, 7 to 9, and the podcast on a little bit later than that. And of course, we'll be back to review the Southampton game on Sunday. Thank you very much. Goodbye. Baby shark, baby.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.